Blog Talk Radio.
When Black Men Talk is the conversation that we have once a week, and surprisingly, we weren't supposed to have one this week, but here we are. At the end of last episode, got into a conversation about Michelle Obama. I said, not loving her husband for 10 years, which I misstated. She didn't use the word love. She said like. But that led into some good conversation, good chatter, some good talk. And it kind of led into a conversation after the episode end. And it was towards the end. And I felt like we kind of ended it without really going into it, where we can kind of get a little deeper, pull back the curtain. So we decided to get together this particular Sunday, which we were going to take off, and decide to go into it, and that we shall do. Because I felt that then, too. I know Mr. Reese was saying some things, and I had to kind of cut him short because the producer's like, Mark, you got to wrap it up. Get up out of here. Get up out of here. Get up out of here. I was getting ready to pull the plug. So, therefore, I had to kind of shut things down. But this gives us an opportunity to go back, maybe touch on some things we said, and, you know, go again a little deeper. Again, I thought she said the word love, but she spoke the word like. And like, for the most part, is to feel an attraction towards or take pleasure in. Do you think about it? 10 years of not liking him. And for those 10 years, she wasn't fond of Mr. Obama himself. It's a third of their marriage. When you hear that, Mr. DeMaurice, out of 30, 10, she didn't like him. She didn't take pleasure in him. She didn't feel an attraction towards him. How does that strike you, sir? Hello, Mr. DeMaurice. Sometimes I'm talking to myself. I'm assuming that maybe hang up and call back, bro, because for some reason I can't hear you. Mr. Charles, welcome to it. We have some technical difficulties. Mr. Maurice is going to dial back in. Maybe there's something going on in the Chicago area that's keeping him from coming in. But as I was saying, Mr. Charles, for 10 years, she didn't like Mr. President Obama. We're speaking of Michelle Obama. And that's a third of their marriage. They're together for roughly 30 years at this point. So when you're here for maybe 10 years, she didn't take pleasure in him. She didn't like him. How does that strike you, sir?
Good morning. It strikes me a little different to what we said initially. It strikes me still somewhat concerned. Because what was it that was so bad that she didn't like him? I think part of it, I'd like to know when that was, because I think one of the things I mentioned to you before offline to me was, you got to realize for 8 years, he was the president of the United States, right? And she had to know coming into that there was going to be some changes, going to be some difficulties in regards to their relationship and their family. But it appears as if that's something that she signed on for and even encouraged. So I'd be curious to find out when that was. But people don't like people for different reasons. But it's kind of like those things that you say you want to be rich, you want to be wealthy, whatever it may be. You want to be have a better lifestyle. And then there's some other issues that come up with that because people change or they have to act differently to get to where you want to be and where in that stain that your family holds.
Yeah, we're going to dig a little deeper. We can only, make an assumption on some of the reasons and when it took place. But I got a funny feeling this part of the time that he was president of the United States. Just got a funny feeling. Mr. DeMaurice, you're back. Hopefully, whatever was going on keeping you muted has unmuted you. And we can hear you, my brother. So if you're there.
Yeah.
I know who was keeping me unmuted.
It wasn't me, man. It wasn't
me.
Yeah,
okay.
The board said you was live and kicking. You know what I mean? You was live and kicking. So. But we got to, you know, we're going to move out the way and give you a little more space because I had to kind of, like I said earlier, kind of bring you to an abrupt end last week because we're running out of time. But, yes, for 10 years, man, you know, she didn't like it. And it's interesting. I want to put this out before you respond too, Mr. Mister, because you had an opportunity to be close to them, in a sense, see them up close, just the Obamas, before they became the Obamas of the White House, the First Lady and the President. So your perspective might be a little different than what we're seeing from our perspective here. With that being said, sir, the 10 years of not liking him, how did that strike you?
Yeah, I look back at some marriages I've seen, you know, coming up and watching, observing marriages, man. It wasn't different than that because God knows there were some marriages that we saw in our family that you knew they didn't like each other. Stayed together because of, you know, family and love and other obligations. And so I believe you can love somebody and sometimes not like them. I know you loved me, but you ain't like me when I took your Matchbox cars. I mean, you did not like me. You would defend me, fight for me, anything else. But there are times where you love me because I'm your cousin, but you ain't like what I was doing or like, you know, that I did something to you. So I think that's a big, big difference between not loving somebody. Because, you know, you could be in a relationship and get in an argument and live in the same household and, you know, y'all could not be on speaking terms. And all of a sudden, they're like, did you eat? You know, why would they even ask if you ate if they didn't love you? They didn't like you. They didn't like the argument. They didn't like the situation that you're in. But, you know, they're helping you out. They're still doing the same family functions, stuff like that. So I think in the natural course of a marriage or relationship, I think sometimes you don't like what that person did or how they're treating you or, you know, you kind of fall out of common ground at some particular point, but you still care for them. You still have that love for them. You don't leave them. I think the older generations did that a lot more where whether it was obligation, whether it was, you know, they really held on to their vows, death do us part. They didn't like each other all the time, but they, you know, they did what they had to do to kind of stay together. And I look at our grandparents, I look at aunts and uncles that we saw coming up. You could tell they didn't like each other. They didn't even look at each other sometimes. But somehow, some way, they stayed together until, you know, to death do us part.
Okay. Now, that is a good response, my brother. I think it is. But in context of what we're talking about, it might be a little skewed, but I think you're there. But I'm going to, between you and I, I'm going to ask you this, because Mr. Charles was fortunate enough to never say I do. But you and I did. You and I did take the step to say I do. So this question is more targeted towards you and myself. Based on what you just said, why are you and I still not married? Because I'm assuming there's times when, you know, what you just said, what went on. So if you loved her more than you liked her and like wasn't there, and Obama's made it for 30 years, I made it for 8 or 9. I'm not sure how long you made it. So why didn't, was that same mindset was not rolled into your marriage?
For me, my love wasn't deep enough, and I knew it. I knew I wasn't getting married because I loved this woman. I got married because I thought it was my obligation to get married because I had 2 children from this woman. So I was following along really kind of blindly, like I saw the previous generation, like, okay, you got to step up and do this, not realizing that I was stepping up into something that I didn't feel obligated. I mean, I didn't feel like I had an obligation of love. I didn't even like this person. I thought I just had an obligation to be there, to stay there for the kids. And then I realized that I didn't have to stay there for the kids. I could still be a daddy and not be miserable with the person I didn't like and I definitely did not love, and not love deep enough to say, you know what, I'm going to put all that aside and just, you know, do what I, you know, just do it the way my you know, previous generations did it. I just couldn't see myself just being that miserable like I saw the previous generation. And I kind of realized their love was probably deeper, or they probably felt an obligation, whether it was religious obligation, whether it's a family obligation, whatever. It was a different time for me. And I don't know if it was the same for you, but it was just a different time where I'm like, I'm not going to make the same mistakes they made. I'm not going to be miserable and just live a life of just being just mad at everybody, because we had uncles and folks that were married to folks, and they were just miserable all the time. And I'm like, no, I can't do that. I'm not going to just waste, this part of my life just because I am married to a person legally that is bringing out the absolute worst in me, or just I'm not going to be happy with. I'm not going to be in a partnership where it's going to bear any fruit. So I definitely, broke the mold in that sense with both sides of the family, where I'm like, I can't do the same thing y'all doing, because it wouldn't make sense for me.
I like what you said, man. I really do. And thanks for, opening up and sharing that, because that's not necessarily easy. I did chuckle when you said you didn't like her or you didn't love her, but you married her.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that to be, I find that to be real interesting. And truth is truth. Well, truth is truth. I will say, in my particular case, I did like her and I did love her. And we're in out of the years we're together. I can't say to you a period of time and I didn't like her. That may have been short-lived, a few hours, maybe a day. But when you talk of 10 years, man, that's a significant period of time. And for me, basically, I want to wrap this up and get back to that. I just realized her and I weren't basically compatible in a sense where we should go long-term. Some things have taken place. I saw where I could be like our predecessors, our families, our fathers, our uncles. I could have stuck my head in the sand and say, I'm going to do this for the next 30 years, and so what? Or am I going to be true to myself and realize that it's not really working? I've done what I could to make it work. I don't think it is going to work. I'm going to remove myself. So I don't look and go and say, did I like her or love her? No, I loved her throughout the marriage. I loved her when I met her, and I grew to love when I met her before I got married to her. But again, I think when you say to people, but for a certain period of time, I didn't like you. And you're right. We know couples that stayed together. And is that what marriage is supposed to be? I guess for some people it is. But I don't think a life should be lived that way. I really don't. So it seems like a good portion of those years, Mr. Charles is saying, he wondered when it happened. I could base this on his response, because it seemed like a portion of years might have been in the White House, because he said, when the kids were younger, he was engaged as a father. But he said, now that the kids are grown, she's a little bit more forgiving and states to him that he was an okay dad. So to me, it seemed like some of that is based around maybe she feel he wasn't participating enough as a father or doing more. And that's where I'm kind of coming to you, Mr. Charles, with this one, because you were kind of wondering if that's the case, in a sense, what is underneath that, Mr. Charles?
Well, I think part of it is the factor that she had to bear as much as she did. I'm thinking too that speculation that it probably ended up being more than she thought it was going to be. Probably was tougher. He probably might have been gone more than she thought it would be. She probably didn't get the support. We had already mentioned before, even offline, that her mother was there at some point at that time helping her with her children. So she probably just felt he should be there more. But when you got to realize that the man is in charge of, one of the top superpowers in the world, and he has to make decisions, and there's times he's just not going to be there. And with all that being said, she probably still felt some kind of way, as if allegedly that regardless, this is your family. Your family should come first. But it's like, well, let's be realistic. He's the president of the United States. As I mentioned to you guys earlier, there are threats to this country every single day. and he's probably getting wind of that from his report that he gets. We get in the morning or whenever, and he would have to discuss those things, and that probably often meant you can't go home. You're not, you, even though you're at the White House, you're not going to be coming home talking about, oh, I'm sorry, honey, I wanted to make sure I got here in time to tuck the kids in. That's not realistic. You can say it what you want it to be, but at the end of the day, we have so many people's lives at your disposal, then that's just a whole different situation. But she has the right to feel the way she does or how it did. She probably was in her feelings, but the reality of it is, if it was during that time, he was the president of the United States with a major responsibility.
Yeah, I think for me, I agree with that. But I think adding on to that, I think, you know, sometimes we carve a life out for ourselves, and sometimes that life we carve out is not necessarily what the life we tend to live. And, you know, sometimes you could be in a partnership and you're not getting your life fulfilled, but it seems like they're getting their life fulfilled. And when that kicks in, there's some resentment. Because, okay, you're able to go do, you're living your dream, you're living this, and I'm here sacrificing what I wanted to have in my life. And I really believe that's part of what's underneath this. I mean, he's the president of the United States. And to her, I'm here with the kids. I don't see him. He's not really participating like he should. He's always being called to do this. And that's where I agree with you, Mr. Charles. Not understanding the weight and the gravity of what that entails. Now, to me, you got to understand going into that, that, you know, if he's running for president, that it's going to take a toll on his time. And if that's not what you're willing to kind of sign up for, maybe you stay there in the beginning and he doesn't go. But I remember years ago when Colin Powell wanted to run, and he would have been the first black president, in my opinion, he wanted to run. At that time, the country favored him, would have made a damn good president. His wife said no. She didn't, for several reasons, but she didn't want him to be out there. He respected that. He chose not to run. So, again, if you put yourself in a situation, and to me as a couple, as a married couple, it's not about who's getting the shine. It's about what are we doing together to grow. And there's sacrifice that comes with that. And if one party basically is shining more or bringing more in is in that, then that other party, him or she, supports it. Not that you feel like, you know, I don't like you because you're doing this, you're not around. You have to be realistic. And that's a part of being a spouse. And ironically, to me, she's out there trying to teach young people that, and I think she's forgotten it. I really do. I think she's forgotten it totally. But coming to you with the same question, Mr. DeMaurice, You know, it seemed like a good portion of it was in the White House because when he speaks of it, he speaks at a point of where it seemed like she was kind of questioning him as what his role he did in raising the kids. And therefore, now the kids is gone, she's a little bit more forgiven. So if that is it, and here again, we're just shooting in the dark, what could be underneath it?
I'm going to go back before he became nationally known because – if you know a little bit about the history, and this is only my opinion, she was the she was in the power position and ahead of him career-wise when he came here to Chicago and they got married and they got hooked up or whatever. The power dynamic shifted to where he was doing things in the community. He was getting well known here in Chicago, here in Illinois. And then, you know, he ran for senator, and then he got put on a national stage and at the Democratic convention where folks were like, there were two black men that were kind of, they cut their teeth. Kwame Kilpatrick out of Detroit and Barack Obama. Let me ask you a question. Does anybody know Michelle Obama's maiden name? Exactly. So nobody knew of her. She wasn't getting that national notoriety. I think that's what she was striving. Maybe she was striving for it. Maybe she was trying to do it in another arena. But I don't know her last name. I know that she's Michelle Obama now. So I think there was envy that was coming into that particular power couple dynamic, that this guy overshot me and overshot me so far that I could never get to that particular, stardom that he got to. Even when they were trying to push her into, after he did his two terms, push her into, hey, Michelle, maybe you should run for president. I don't think, she was even ready, even being, beside her husband. I don't know how closely she was watching, but I think there was some envy that came with that, I'm doing all this and I'm really, I aspire to be this, but you are far shooting. And think about it, when he was a senator, he was a senator for a short amount of time. Usually senators go on for a few years, then they ascend to the presidency. He ascended really quickly. It was like, when he was ascending, everybody was like, well, is he ready? Does he have experience? That was one of the things that they were trying to hit him with, that he lacks experience. How could he be the leader of the free world, where he didn't really even cut his teeth as a senator? But he became so dynamic, charismatic, it kind of left her in the shadows. It kind of left her in the shadows, and all that she was probably trying to do just went to the wayside because it wasn't that important anymore. It was important to her, but that power dynamic shifted where he wasn't the underling in the marriage. He was the man of the house, and he had to make this decision for the best interest of the family and the house. And he, I guess, maybe he and her talked about it and all that other stuff. And I think part of it she liked, because it got her notoriety. It got her in places and faces and spaces where she wouldn't have been in. But, I think the power dynamic in that relationship shifted where she didn't like that. It didn't seem like she was used to being, and I hate to use this word, the underling in the relationship. She was in charge. It seemed like from a bird's eye view, she was in charge of the relationship before he got notoriety and got into politics. And when he started to get a lot of power outside in his profession, I think it became envy from her that he's getting all the perks and all the things that I would like to aspire to, but I will never get to, because he overshot her aspirations and maybe some of her goals. How can she get more powerful than the president at this particular point? If she had a career goal to be an attorney or be a leader as a woman, how can she do that? And she can never do it. She can never do it, and she wouldn't be able to do it the way and how he did it. She wouldn't have been it, and we wouldn't have known of her without him. So I definitely think, just being here in Chicago and watching it, the power dynamics shifted, and she became envious of him.
Bingo. I agree with that, and I felt that. That's what I felt. And I really believe that's why you see these two books popping off, bro. She wants people to see and know her. And I remember saying that when the first book came out, I'm like, why is she writing a book? I went to Harvard and all this. It's like, what is that about? Because now she wants to come from beneath his shadow. She wants to rise up. And to me, it's interesting, because I go back to the 10 years of saying I didn't like you. Not a short period of time. But when you love someone, you don't pick and choose when you love or like them. Just do. And to me, if you're in love with me or I'm in love with you, if I see you blossoming, that's when I'm going to basically show you who I really am. My support is going to be endless to you. Envy, jealousy is not going to come into the picture. It's not going to arrive. So when I look at that, I'm going, it's just like, to me, I always say this about your friends. You know who your friends are when it's time to move. Call your friends and go, hey, man, I need you over here. I've got to move some stuff. They're not showing up. So you can tell me you love me every freaking day. You can spew it out. You can say it, come out of your mouth. But when it's time to show me you're not liking me for 10 years, you can go somewhere with that. You can go somewhere. And I don't give a fuck you've been together for 100 years. I'm being honest with you. You can say the words and do all that, but you can't act like you love and don't like. That's what it is to me. Point blank. It is what it is. And like you said about the power shift, if you love him enough, he was chosen, not by necessarily by people. He was chosen by God to come out and lead this country. And if you can't see that in your jealousy, and it's about me, your selfishness, there it is. I don't need to hear you didn't like him for this and that. I don't need to hear it. And to me, he's one of those guys, I said this to you offline. Obama takes a lot in. He'll take punches, but he's not going to deliver punches back. That's his humility. I don't think he'd like her saying this. He lived this for 10 years. What husband wants to sit on national television and have to come around this? That's the politician in him. But he's not going to go to her probably and say, hey, this makes me feel this way, whatever the case may be. He'll let it ride because he takes the punches in. But realistically, you can't act like to me those 20 years, oh, I picked and choose. I loved you for 20. I keep saying it. 10 years is a long time. A long time. 10 minutes is a long time. 10 years? And when saying that, I'm going to come back to you, Mr. Deers, with this one. In saying that, now to me, you want to twist this and act like you're doing young people a service and say, yeah, go on, get married. Don't like them for 10 years because I did it and make it to 30. How is that basically in telling young people that part of marriage is hard? Young people know marriage is hard anyway. At the dynamics, they're not getting married anyway. So how is this now being twisted? And she didn't really kind of say that until there was backlash. So how is she twisting this now and basically helping young people out to say, you know, I don't like it for 10 years, but marriage is hard, so you guys think through it. How are young people benefiting from that? When I don't think she understands what marriage is really about when it comes down to it, bro.
You know, I can't make that assessment whether she knows or not. I mean, because everybody's marriage is different and how they settle their feelings with each other and what they accept and their the deal breakers and all that stuff. It gets real complicated. But I talking to a brother I know yesterday who's about to get married and the clock is ticking. He's getting married this summer and he ain't looking happy. He's looking like a deer in headlights. And I sat with him a little while, and I plan to sit with him and talk to him about it because I guess he's been with her for a number of years, and they're making plans to get married. And he's like, man, we just had an argument yesterday, and it seemed like, you know, we're just arguing all the time. And as soon as he said that, my radar goes up because I know – that these arguments ain't going to stop once they, you know, have that day ceremony. It's going to get rougher because now he's legally obligated to be in there. Now he's looking like, you know, I don't know. And I'm like, bruh, you know, even though y'all been together for a number of years and it's coming to this point, I said, do you have any counseling, things of that sort? He was like, yeah, I would like to have that and all that. I'm like, bruh. And I've talked to many brothers over a period of time where they're going to this, it's like they're going to this point where they're heading up to it. And we as men don't talk to other brothers like we should and let them know the real about what they're getting ready to go into and letting them know that you got options. Just because everything is ordered, your tuxedo is ordered and everything, the money's there. You got options. You don't have to go through with this if you know y'all having problems now, then those problems don't go away magically on that day. They're going to be there. And so you got to hammer those out right now because you're going to take this into a marriage, and then 5, 6, 7 years down the road, you're going to be regretting the decision you made. And so I speak to about him. And another brother I talked to before he got married, he's like, oh, man, just because yours didn't go well, don't mean mine. And he came back to me years later like, bro, I'm sorry. He said, you were right.
you were right. They get in that space. It's like a vacuum where they can't hear nothing. And I want to get to this brother before he get in that vacuum where he can't hear nothing. Like, bruh, you got an option. You got an option. So everybody has their different ways of dealing with this, but I see a red flag because I've been there before. I'm like, the problem was there before. It only got worse after because the rules changed, the power dynamic changed, the legality of what you did changed. Now you got to deal with it, and now you're saying, man, you know, I wish somebody would have told me. I wish somebody would have came and stepped to me and said, bruh, you don't have to do this. Or I told one of the brothers, listen, wait. Wait. Why? What's the rush? Why is she pushing this to get this on this particular day? What's the rush? Just if you know, if this is this important and you're having problems, why don't you just say, hey, let's push this back. Know why they don't push this back? Because all my bridesmaids and everybody, how I'm going to look if we postpone and all this other stuff, it's more cosmetic now. It's more how you feel or how people will feel about you if you don't go through this. And so they don't want to cause any more pressure, so they just go with it. You know, they have that honeymoon period, and then, bam, here's the problem again. I wish I could teach a class on this, seminars, workshops. We should do this. We should do this, Mark. So, seminars around the country. The left brothers know before they get into that space where they feel like it's a point of no return, listen, here's the things you need to watch out for. They don't go away magically when she put on that dress and you put on that tuxedo. It ain't no magic trick to this. It's going to be there when that day is over, when the bills come and all that other stuff. It's going to be there. So, I don't know if Michelle and Barack kind of anticipated all the stuff that hit them and how it would really kind of pressure the marriage and push the marriage to the brink. And people act differently when they're under a lot of pressure. And maybe this is what she did and how she felt, and she didn't anticipate this. She didn't anticipate being a stay-at-home mom because she was a career woman.
She listened to the violin, then, bro.
Yeah, and she took and this happened, and now she's in a spot where it's like, I didn't fulfill my dreams. And he fulfilled all his. He's retired now. He can do whatever he wants. You know, at a young age, he can retire and do anything he wants. And he can kind of sit back because he's accomplished the ultimate. Can't go any higher. Can't go any higher. So he's gotten, what, Grammys? He can't go into music. He got Grammys already. Don't need to go into music. President, Grammy, awards, all these other stuff. He can't get no higher. And so it puts a strain on the marriage. And sometimes you get to that point and you go, well, I anticipate this, and this is how I feel. And mostly, we talk about in the show, women go on their feelings. They don't go on logic and, oh, I need to play my position. They go on their feelings. I'm pretty sure there have been some instances where they go and greet him and don't even pay attention to her. She didn't anticipate that. So that's why I go back to envy. It was supposed to be, she was supposed to be recognized first, and then, oh, yeah, by the way, this is my husband. It didn't happen that way, and it put a strain on the marriage. And people act real funny or funky when strained and situations come up in marriages, and it wasn't talked about. It wasn't said, okay, I'm going to do this. If this ever situation arises, we're going to do it this way. They could never imagine all the situations they've been in and how to kind of handle them. But they kept it private up until this particular point.
It said marriage should not be entered into lightly. No one pays that no attention, bro.
It doesn't.
Just like your cat right now. Bro, if you got to go to a therapist prior to marriage, then she ain't the one to marry. Go on and say it. It is what it is. She's not the one to marry. If you're a deer in the headlights, then you're not ready to be married. There ain't nothing else. I mean, come on now. That's common sense. You don't have to go sit down to tell somebody tell you, no, don't marry her, fix this, or whatever. If you two early on can't work on your problems together, marriage ain't going to do it. Just like you, man. Cats, I had one time I was talking to this brother. He called me. He was dating someone. Yeah, we're in therapy. I'm like, what you in therapy for? Well, you know, we're trying to. You're trying to do what, bro? You're trying to do what? What are you trying to do? You're trying to fix something that necessarily doesn't want to be fixed, doesn't need to be fixed, that she doesn't think it needs to be fixed. So, cause, you know, just tell me point blank, you just want to be married. Say it. You have a desire in you, a divine desire to be married, because what's in front of you is not what you're supposed to be marrying. And you're not stopping and seeing that God is basically showing you she's not it. She's not it. Oh, I'll go right around this. I'll get this person to pass this up, and I'll do that. Uh-uh. No. I remember speaking to a friend of mine years ago, and I was talking about a situation. I wasn't even with someone I was thinking about marrying. And I commented about what was going on between us. She said, Mark, marry her. You ain't seen nothing yet. Mm-hmm. He said, marry her. I couldn't stop laughing. She said, you ain't seen nothing yet. Marry her. She said, go on and marry her. Because then you're, that's it. So you know, your instincts, your heart tells you. If your heart beating with those palpitations, bro, come on, you know it ain't right. You know it ain't right. So if you want to go in there and do it, mm-mm. And I'll go back to what I said earlier about the vows. Who pays attention to vows? Are they even listening? Are we listening to the vows? Are we paying any attention to the vows? Because to me, if she paid attention to her vows and such as he, come on, bro. We ain't doing this. I like you. I love you. That's some elementary bullshit. I ain't like you. I love you. Come on. Let's get real. Let's start acting like adults when it comes to marriage. Let's be real. It's not a game. Maybe you should study the vows before you think about getting married. Don't wait till you stand there and the preacher's just reading them out to you. How about you take them and each night you go over them and you read them? This is what I'm walking into. This is what I'm going to be for the next X amount of years. And if I can't live up to this, guess what? I'm not ready. Screw the dress. Screw all that nonsense. Your girl's coming around. You're going to here and you're putting all that. That is not marriage. That's why I say, Mr. Charles, when I come back to it, he's talking about marriage is hard. Well, damn, who doesn't know marriage is hard, Mr. Charles? How is that benefiting the young folks?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we're seeing, though, is, I'm not sure if it's benefiting the young folks at all. What we're seeing is there's a dynamic for me, and I've always said this as I've continued to grow, even as I learn it's younger. We put people that are supposed to be in certain highlighted positions of power or associated with power. They're supposed to be like these superhuman beings that they just get along because they're in that position. And that's crap because we're human, man. We're human. I've always said that. You know, you put people in position because they play basketball or they do this or they do certain things and not really looking at and understanding who people really are. So I think you guys are right. I think Demaris hit it on point when he said that she watched him grow and do when reach all of his goals. And now it's like she's probably saying to herself, it's my turn. I want to do all the stuff I didn't get to do because I was waiting on you. So with all of the, within this new world that we live in, with reality TV, all these other social media things, she has that. Because everybody, a lot of people, there's an audience for her now. There's an audience. They want to hear from her. And she's running to it. She's running to it, writing two books, doing some other things. But again, like I said, I think we don't understand who people are. We're humans first. People mess up. We all have issues. We all have things going on. Even when you reach the top of the mountain, so-called, if you will, there's issues. And that's how we look at it. But at the same time, when you're looking about how she is, man, I'm telling you something, bro. When you talk, you guys both have been married. And I get that. I haven't been married. And people are like, well, you scared him. No, I'm not afraid. I know who the hell I am. I've always known me because of where I came from, what I had to do. I think when you don't go understand who you are, and I'm not saying it can't always work, it takes two people. One thing I do know, if I ever got married, I'm going to need the other person to understand that we're going to have to work at this hard and understand that we're going to need to come together because without that, you're not going to make it. That I do know. Like I tell people all the time, I get out this last point. If you're on my basketball team, and I can't cut you. I got to make sure that we are working together to make sure that we're both at our best so the team can flourish. If I cannot cut you, if you don't have, if you're not together, you're not doing what you need to do, we're going to suffer as a team. That's always been my motto. And when I see that or I saw that, I'm like, you ain't ready. You ain't ready. Because like I said, I'm 100 first. So I had to, I kill, I eat. If I don't kill, I don't eat. And if you're not ready to step up, I can't work with you. But so many other people buy into the matrimony and the ceremony and things. They also buy into what the hell other people think. That's the other problem. Something goes wrong, you run over to your mom or your auntie or your girl. Your girl ain't over here. Your girl is not over here. When are you going to step up and be like, this is my husband, this is who I want to be with, we going to work it out. That's how they did it back in the day. We watching movies like Sounder and shit like that. People, they laughing and stuff. But I'm telling you, women and men, when women were dedicated to men and waited like 5 years on the dude, bro. 5 years and longer, because that's what it was. That's out the door now, man, because modern day technology and everything else. I'll leave that there.
Man, you're right about the 5 years. You date now for 6 months. They start asking her, when y'all getting married? When y'all getting married? When y'all getting married? I remember a buddy of mine, man, years ago, and I'm going back when I was in my late teens, early 20s. He was dating who his wife is now, and they've been together for that long. And like you said, Mr. Reese, he, you know, brothers really needed to confide and start saying some things. So one day we're hanging out, and at the time she was in college, getting ready to graduate as a mechanical engineer. And at that time, there were very few black women mechanical engineers. And there were, she was getting offers thrown at her left and right, big opportunities just thrown. And she's still, she's a senior now. It started when she was a junior in college, but a senior, man, they were coming out where she could work. Some jobs they were offering her where she could work for 10, 15 and retire. Done. That's how bad they were trying to pull her. So he said to me, hey, man, I don't know. And I don't know how things are going to work out. You know, I don't have, I said, bro, she loves you. She loves you. I said, I don't care if you have to stay home and wear the apron. You support her. Just because she will make much more than you, it doesn't matter. I know her. She's that type that's not going to be something that she's going to divide you to. And you don't have to feel you have to match what she's doing. Just love her the way you've been loving her, and that's why she's with you. And that's it right there. So you're right. Sometimes Kat needs to step out. And I don't believe in basically, you know, someone's married kind of telling you what to do. Again, I will say some things to make you think, but we know what we know. We're blessed with sensors and intelligence and things inside of us. When we know things ain't right, we feel it, and that's an alarm clock inside of you telling you think some things through. Look at what's in front of you. Don't be afraid to basically understand when I'm, this steps I'm taking, these steps I'm making, they're not right. They're not there. It doesn't feel comfortable. You know when it's not right. And if you're looking at, like Mr. Charles said, paying attention where everybody else is thinking and saying, you're never going to be right. You're never going to be right. And there's no secret to why this country divorces at the 50% rate, if not even higher. Because people are more enamored with, I want to be married. I want to have a husband. I want to have that white picket fence and think that's what marriage is. None of that. None of it's been sold to you. Turn off your fucking television. You wouldn't think that way. There's none of that. How about paying attention to the vows? Really get into them before you think about saying I do. Get into them. Understand them. Because life changes. But if you're true to those, you'll be true to her, and she'll be true to you. If that's the case, you just don't do it. It's simple. You know, God gave us how to do it and showed us how to do it for the most part. But we choose to be selfish, envious, and all those other things and expect to have a long-term, healthy marriage. And so when I hear that, it doesn't sound healthy to me. It doesn't sound good. So I don't care how many years you've been together. You can be together 700. Man, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm not impressed about the years. And I'll go back to something you said earlier, Mr. Demers, our family members. Yeah, you know, I said this numerous times. You know, my father stayed around my mother much longer than he should have. Much longer. My father did some things, hurt my mother that she never got over. She made my father's life a living misery hell. Now, maybe he felt because he hurt her, he owed the right to her, but, bro, kids, I told him as a grown man, you was trying to get back with her. Why you want to come back for that? For what? Go live your life. What? Mm-mm. Your obligation to the family, far as I'm concerned, is over. You
wow.
already know what you're living through with her. You know what you're living through with that. You want to come back to prove what? Maybe
wow.
you're trying to get into heaven now? I'm trying to figure that out. That's going to be your road into heaven? Maybe. But as a man, I'm telling you point blank, I'm your son. It's time to move on. It's time to move on and live your life. You can't go back and repair that. You can't go back and retool that. It's not Play-Doh. But a lot of times we stay places or go places where we're not supposed to be. We want to hang there and act like it's right. And that's not the natural order. It's not. It's not the way things are supposed to be, at least in my opinion. And I'm going to leave it there to wrap this segment up. Gentlemen, we're going through the questions. Mr. Charles, your question first.
My question is, have you ever dated outside your race? And if you have, did you ever feel there was a moment when you were out with that person that you felt some kind of way like people from your race were looking at you or judging you?
Come on, man. Yes, of course that happened, man. You're going to.
I mean, but you say, of course, I mean, it's real, though. So you say that.
No,
but like,
it is.
Like, everybody,
think,
yeah. It's real. It's real.
No,
you just can't think.
I say that to say this. To me, when you choose to step outside of your race, you should understand what's going to come with it, bro. As a black man, if you're going to walk down the street with a white woman, if you don't expect to get some type of kind of pushback, some stares, then what are you doing? What are you thinking? Realistically, you can't care about that. That's what you choose to do. You can't. It's like we were saying, we can't pay attention. So, definitely that happened. That's always going to happen. You know, that's going to be it. Her family may not like you. Your family may not like her. But if you two, that's what you two decide to do as adults. Bump all that. But absolutely. I mean, that's why I say this, because, that's like common knowledge, common nature. That's always going to be the equation. Always going to be. He think he's better, this and that, whatever the case may be. She don't look like whatever the case may be, whatever it is. But, the times I've did, absolutely. Your response, Mr. DeMaurice?
Yeah, I mean, I've dated out my race numerous times. And it's a decision that you and the person makes because they got to deal with that pressure, too. Of people looking at them or wanting to say or trying to convince them that, not to do whatever. And I know for me personally, I don't really care about what other people think. And I don't do that. I don't really kind of factor people's opinion on decisions I make or how I feel about a particular person, especially if it comes with matters of the heart. So, take a good picture, stare, take a good picture, say what you want, but you're not in this situation and your opinion means nothing to me. And so you got to really have that attitude in order to, survive that relationship. And my daughter is married to a person that's not African-American, and I made it a point to sit down and talk to them about the difficulties that is going to happen, and that if when you two are in situations like that, you got to cling to each other even tighter. That should make you even more tighter, because people sometimes don't really recognize that, when people are happy and they're content with their decisions, everybody's not going to be happy for you. And so so we talked about them being together, then having kids that are mixed race and how that's going to impact their experiences. And so that, just putting everything on the line, like this is what you're going to face. So you two need to prepare yourselves for that and prepare your children for that. And so it's something that, even though we had we're supposed to be evolved as human beings. We still hold on to petty things that really don't really amount to anything. And race is one of those things that does that. So if you're able and fortunate enough to find love, and it's somebody from another ethnic group, screw everybody else and do what's going to make you happy and help you grow. And because not too many people really find true love. And if it's true love, it will stand the test of time, and you two will fight against the world to hold it. And so, yeah, that's how I feel about it.
Who is she, Mr. Charles? And your response, man, who is she, bro? Tell her, who is she?
Right. That's all right. Look, I'm not going down that rabbit hole with you. Since you want to go there, you know what? Anyway, I'm gonna say it. I don't give a damn. There's a few of them. How about that? There's a few of them. Since you want to pull it out the rabbit hole, I'm gonna tell you. Since you want to do that, it's a few of them. It's a few of them. Ain't no shame with my game, bro. I like it all. I ain't no lacking at all. I learned that from my dad a long time ago. So I just say this. The reason why I respond the way that I did is because I think in the day that we live in today, I think there are some young people, you know, they want to believe that they just, as D. Marie said, they can live and love who they want to and not have to worry about it, about dealing with race and all those issues. And that might be naive for a lot of people. But there's more of, interracial type situations happening. But to the point, D. Maurice, I think you're right on spot when you say that some old things are still being clung to for old traditions or people saying certain things, and you got to stay with who you need to stay. You got to stay with your race or your kind, if you will. But I think the other part of it, too, which is vital, and the fact that you sat down with your daughter, you know, and her mate to explain this, that it can be tricky and whatever it is, and they have to be understanding about who they are and be constant to be proud of who they are despite what may come their way. I'm not sure if a lot of younger people are receiving that talk. And granted, they might go, like Mark mentioned about, they should know it. I get that, but at the same time, some of those things I don't think are happening. And there are a lot of people out there, like I say, with other things, they're not stepping up and understanding how real this world is until they're thrown into something. Excuse me, but I think you're absolutely right when it comes down to that. You just have to understand the way that things are coming along. And Mark, I know that you are a man of the world. You're a very intelligent individual, but everybody don't ride on your bus, bro. Some people a few lower level, on lower level. And I say that with love because of the fact that I understand how just dealing with other people, everybody's just not connected, and they just don't understand certain things. Although they should, and we think that's how things should be, when I speak about this, I'm telling you, I just know people that just, you go, well, damn, how did you know that? How did you know that? It befuddles me at times when I've come across this, but I still think some of those types of situations exist.
Thanks for compliment. I want to throw a quick question for us all three, man, because we all dated outside of our race. I've never been in love outside of my race. That I've never been. So I'm going to come back to you first, Mr. Charles. Simple yes or no. Have you been in love outside of your race, bro?
Nope.
You, Mrs. Maurice, have you been in love outside of your race?
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the women that I've dated are just some outstanding, some dynamic women that I fell head over heels for. And it wasn't because of their race. It was because of the essence, their spirit. And so, my heart didn't say, oh, she's not part of the club, so I gotta cut this off. No, it was, you know, just enjoying the time and essence of that particular woman. Yes, absolutely.
Can
I understand that? Because absolutely, Mr. Charles.
So why did he get more than one answer, one word?
No. You took it and went there, but I understand that. I mean, love is love, bro. Love is not necessarily kind of a cliche as a color, but love is love. But I just know, I speak for myself. Ms. Charles says the same. It never happened. And I'm not saying based on the color. I don't know, maybe something inside of me would allow my heart to go there, whatever the case may be. Because, I mean, some that I've dated, they were, you know, they were good women. They're a very good woman within itself. Maybe I dated knowing prior to dating them that I was going to let my emotions go there, whatever the case may be. That might have been it. But, no, if it happens, you know, and someone makes you feel good in the outside of your race, I have no qualms about that, man. You do what you roll with your heart. You roll with your heart. Mr. DeMaurice, we got about 4 minutes, man, to kind of make your question a little short, but what you got, sir?
I know my question is going to be probably a topic for another show, but I think I sent you and Mr. Charles a video about, it was a panel, and they were talking about do side chicks ever become the main chick? And if that's even possible. So I'll throw that out there.
I'll make this real quick. I'll keep mine to a minute. Mr. Charles, if you don't mind, keep yours to a minute. We'll roll it back to Mr. DeMaurice and get on up out of here. Whenever you're in a situation, it amazes me that women or men put themselves in situations where they think they can pull you out of something and have something with you. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And it doesn't work for several reasons. I know a guy, man. I know several guys. They find women with guys, and they're trying to get her out of the situation. They're like, bro, are you stupid? And the same thing with women. They put themselves with men that's not available. How do you put yourself with somebody that's not available to you and expect to have good out of it? It's not. Enjoy the ride. Enjoy the moment. Enjoy the feelings. But uh-uh. Your response, Mr. Charles.
Yeah, the percentages are very low. The only one of the few times I did see it happen was it was in church, bro, where this deacon was messing around with this lady, this other lady. She knew he was married and whatnot. And then people start to know about it. He literally left the wife and his son at the church and started coming to church with the woman that he was, the Jezebel he started picking up with. I was like, man, I ain't never seen that like this. And everybody's walking around like looking all crazy and stuff. I'm surprised she just slapped the hell out of that woman. But, yeah, very few times have I seen that. But that was one that was real.
Oh, it'd be your thing, Black Church. Go ahead, Mr. DeMaurice, your response, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Ms. Charles. It's a small percentage where that works out where you actually find your true love. But I thought about it because of all the advertising with Prince Charles and all that other stuff. Now it's a side chick, and now it's a main chick. And so for me personally, probably wouldn't work out because you're always in the back thinking that, you know, the same thing that you did could be done to you. Or why would the person – you know, be loyal to you when they weren't loyal to the person that was ahead of you. So a small percentage, is it possible? Yes. For my taste, no.
Small percentage. Yeah, that percentage is quite small when you think about it, man. You bring up a situation where I think he married Lady D because that's what his mother and the people of power used to be wanting him to do. He wasn't in love with it, but he was chose to marry because he needed to have children. So that's a little different, but sometimes people look at situations like that and try to make it your own. That's foolish, bro. Foolish. I mean, a side chick is what a side chick is. You're going to get side scraps. That's what you're going to get, point blank. And that's your role. And if you ain't got a problem with that, go out and play your role. Same thing with a side bro. Play your role as a side bro. But whenever you think you're going to come in and be the star, then you may not come off the bench. You just may not come off the bench. And you got to be okay with that. You're okay, because you can't say the coach put me in. Gentlemen, thank you for taking a topic that, you know, could have been considered a little tough and doing what you all did. This is when Black Men Talk. This is the race with Charles Mark Elliott. We'll holler at you real soon. Stay black.